Well, I have to say, today was a blast from the past. Seeing all these friendly faces, making me feel so welcome, and greetings from our family, Michelle, Evelyn. I know they too have been speaking with some of you and catching up. Some things change and some things don't change. One thing I've noticed has changed here at Cornerstone is the lights rack. I love that. That is really cool. I love also the lighting on the cross. That was a very nice add. We came up in the drive. We saw the paving stones in the island. Very nice. I pick up on these things because we were here for so long. We were like, one day we should do something like that. And so that one day came, and very pleased with that. But there are some things that also don't change, and that is that I see love in the house. And I want to thank you for expressing that love to myself, Michelle, and Evelyn. We felt the love. We have felt the love. And we will continue to be praying for you. We hope that you will be praying for us as we go on this journey together. A couple things I'll just want to get out of the way first. This blue insert, it's a little off, so I just wanted to clear something up. We had initially expected one of our board members, Ernest Mall, to come speaking, and he represents another organization called Empowered Poor. So you'll see reference to that. I'm not representing Empowered Poor today. So I will be representing RIMI, which is Reaching Indians Ministries International. As we came in today, we were remarking on how we remember Evelyn running up and down the halls here as the church was being built. And for those of you who've been around for a while, you remember those days, putting up the panels. And it was such a labor of love, wasn't it? Yeah, it was long, hard hours, right, Mike? Yeah, it was. But it was something that that really brought us together as a church family. And I see some youth in the house as well. I'll name the names here that I remember. Jennifer Hallgren, and I know the names, the last names have changed now, so forgive me, Esther and Rachel, and there are probably others that I'm forgetting. I am involved in youth work at my other church, Hope, and my heart has stayed there with working with those kids through some very tough times. Kids are facing some enormous challenges today, as you know. So some things change, some things don't. Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself if you aren't familiar with me. First of all, I'm the oldest of five kids, grew up in Minnesota, and I've been married to Michelle for 15 years. We celebrated 15. Johnny, we made it. Yay. Johnny married us, so he knows how important it was for us to make it past these milestones. We had some rough years, some very, very rough years. God has been so good to us. He has blessed us in so many ways, including our beautiful daughter Evelyn, who's about to turn 13, big 13. Someone said, she looks like 17. I said, don't go there. Don't go there. Not yet. Not ready for that. Evelyn is homeschooled, and so if you have any homeschoolers in the room? Anybody who knows a homeschooler in the room? Yeah. So there are challenges with that. Evelyn is constantly arguing with her teacher, and we have, parent conference days can be a challenge. But my background, education, and profession, primarily, I got my undergrad at Northwestern College, which is now University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota, and got also an undergrad in Bible, and then went on to get my master's at University of Phoenix. So I got some business background, just enough to be dangerous, and am now using that at RIMI, and I never would have thought that I would be using a business background in missions. So it's quite remarkable what the Lord has brought us through. Project management has been my primary thrust throughout my career, and for the last 5 years I've been an independent consultant. And so this is a very recent change for me to move into missions, and really what I wanted to do today is just share the journey with you of how I made that transition, am making that transition. I have not made the transition, I'm making it right now. I have traveled a little bit, so the good news is in 8 days I get to see India for the first time. So this will be a real milestone for me to see the field and the missionary workers, the campus that we have out there, and I'm eager to see that. My primary responsibilities as the executive director are just to manage the operations in our home office, which is in Lindenhurst. And we're a little bit different from other missions organizations in that rather than sending Westerners over to a foreign country, what we're doing is we're sending money over to support national missionaries who are doing the work there in India. So what you're going to see is a little bit of that as I tell kind of my journey story. Also in 1996, I came to Cornerstone and met Michelle, as Roger had mentioned, through our singles group. Yes, singles groups do work. So anybody, do we have a singles group here yet? No? Okay. One day, hopefully we will have something like that, and that's just a great opportunity to minister to couples, and I'll tell you what, Michelle and I really thank Cornerstone for allowing us to meet and nurturing that relationship. All right, well, let's move on to the next slide. For the last 2 to 3 years, I've really been on a journey, and so what I want to share is that journey with you. And as I run through this journey, I'm going to share a little bit about Rimi as well, so it's going to be kind of a mixed bag. First, Saji Lukos and Rimi. Go to the next slide here. Saji is going to be speaking next week, so be here, and you can hear his story. Of how the Lord has touched his life and how Rimi was started. And one thing that I would really encourage you to be thoughtful of is how the Lord might be stirring in your heart a desire for missions. Maybe that is to increase your giving to missions if you're already giving. Maybe it's a matter of going on a short-term trip. Maybe it's one day making your career missions. But I want to encourage you to be thoughtful this week, next week, and I'm sure the elders, pastors have been encouraging you to be open to the Holy Spirit's prompting as I speak. So as I talk about my experience, don't let that be your focus. Think about what is it that the Lord is saying to me about missions. But Saji came to the Lord in 79. He faced great persecution from his family. And then he came to America in 1988, and the rest of his family then came to the Lord. He founded Rimi in 1993, and then another organization over in India called Mission India in 94. And then in 95, they began to build the campus that I'll talk more about later. Next slide. So the first verse that I'm going to share with you is one that that has been meaningful for me in my journey, and that is Ephesians 2:10. If you have a Bible, please turn there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Well, God had given me an inherent desire to be a planner, a manager, a leader. And for those of you who know my career track, you know that I've been driven to develop my career as best as I can, develop new skills, be adept at new things. And that is something God put in my heart to become better and learn more and become more, and that's not in itself bad. However, if your focus is on the things of this world, that's dangerous, because now your aspirations are focused on something other than God. And so for me, that was something that I struggled with. I was double-minded in my ways. I wanted the things of this world, and yet I also wanted to serve Him. And some of you may also be facing that. You say, I want to serve You, Lord. I want to do what You called me to do. However, I still want to do the things that are pleasing in this world. And I would caution those of you who might be sitting here today thinking this way, or you know this of yourself, that the Lord is calling you to single-mindedly focus on Him. I had not fully submitted myself to Him. I was double-minded. I felt like I had to resolve my weaknesses before God could use me. Anybody can relate to this? Raise a hand. I want to see hands. How many of you said, I have to get okay and I have to get healthy and I've got to get strong before he'll use me? Yeah? That's false. That's from the devil. That's a lie. And you need to hear that this morning. Maybe that's for you. Is that you've been saying, you know, I need to be more grounded in the Word. How many of you felt that way or thought that? I don't really know the Bible that well. That also is a lie. Okay? The Lord will use you if you devote yourself to Him. Many a night I laid in bed crying. Michelle probably doesn't even know the times that I laid in the darkness and I just cried out to the Lord. I said, I don't feel satisfied with this life that I'm traveling, this path that I'm on. I don't feel satisfied. Lord, would you please put me into your calling? And he did. Next slide. Talk a little bit about India and some challenges. First, 1.2 billion people in India. Hard to even wrap your mind around a number that big. I'm going to go see it in 8 days. 300 million people below the poverty line, making less than $2 a day. Some of the missions, just a side thought, some of the missionaries that are going to be at this conference that I'm attending in Nagpur, which is in the geographic center of India, they go on 2 meals a day, not because they're trying to keep slim, but it's because that's all they can afford. And these missionaries will be traveling to the city that we've provided some travel money for them to come by train. And they really will be wowed by what they see. Buildings that have multiple floors. They'll see vehicles. Many of these missionaries are in the very rural areas of India, and so they're used to villages that are very poor, that desperately poor. And so I'm feeling a little nervous, frankly, going there and even being asked to teach or do anything around people who are suffering like that. How do you speak? How do you speak to someone who, and maybe those of you who've been to third world countries, you know this dilemma. How do you go and you share to these people faith? I mean, they are living every day a day of faith, walking by faith that they'll have the next meal, that they'll be able to somehow take care of their children. And here I am in my very comfy home with a big screen. How do you even have a conversation with someone? How do you connect? So I'd ask for your prayers that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me as I speak to these people in a way that's going to connect with them, because I don't feel adequate to be able to even speak to them. 6,000 people groups, 18 major languages, 1,600 plus dialects. This is going to be a problem at the conference that I'm going to be at, is I will speak and they'll have a Hindi translator, and it will only hit about 40% of the audience, because the other 60% speak some other dialect and they may not even be able to understand me. That's how diverse India is. I mean, imagine that, right? That you're going to maybe the south and only half the people actually understand you. 18 main languages in the New Testament. Or, I'm sorry, 18 main languages in the Bible, in which the Bible is translated, and the New Testament is available in 200 of the dialects. So the word is still penetrating India. I spoke with one missionary who relayed a story. We often will get missionaries, Indian missionaries, coming over to the U.S. to either do fundraising or connect with churches. And when they come over, we often put them up, let them stay with us or feed them. And we get the honor of hearing their story. And for one gentleman, I don't recall his name, he told us a story that really touched me. He said he was preaching in a village and a mob captured him, tied him to a tree, broke both of his legs, and beat him just incessantly, just tortured him, beat him. And as this was happening, in the sky, he looked up and he saw a large screen with a Bible verse on it that just gave him absolute peace as he was being tortured. Isn't that amazing that something like that could happen in a world where we're so tied up with our iPhones and what's gonna be on tonight or who we're gonna see? We don't live an existence like that. So here's another challenge to those of you who might be sitting and saying, I don't know what this all means for me. Are you praying for that person who may be tortured? Are you spending time asking the Lord that you would reflect His heart so that as He is watching that person being tortured, His heart is grieved by that? Is your heart grieved? Or is it just another bullet point in some news story that says, well, it's really quite bad, but I just don't know that that relates to me? Some of you may know that in India they have a new prime minister. His last name is Modi, and Modi had persecuted Christians in his state in India before he became prime minister, and so now he is the lead guy, and the Christian persecution has intensified severely. We're getting daily reports now of Indian missionaries being tortured, driven out of their village, beaten, killed. And so I would ask for you, if in your times of prayer, would you please say a special word for those who are suffering? Next slide. Our vision and mission is to reach the unreached people of South Asia and beyond as an obedience to the Great Commission. And is to transform spiritually, socially, economically the unreached people by developing indigenous leaders. So that's, again, a key differentiator with Remy, is that we're trying to develop leaders in India to minister to their own people. We do this through church planting, leadership development, and compassion services. And I'll speak more on that. Next slide. Church planting is a key aspect of what we do, and I would tie evangelism and church planting together. We have over 8,900 church home churches, house churches. So a house church typically would be someone opens up their home in a small, think of like a small group Bible study. That would be a home church in our context. And so 8,900 of those are happening throughout India in the RIMI network, which is quite exciting for me. Here I am. I'm just somebody who's just getting into missions, and I don't have much to offer. I'm working in this little office in Lindenhurst, and there's a staff of maybe 10 of us, and we're connected to this huge network of believers who are suffering daily, and we're doing all we can to send them money so that they can take care of their basic needs of food, rent, any type of transportation needs, and I just count it an honor that God chose me to come into this. I really do. I feel it's like how this could not have been orchestrated any differently, any better than God had it planned. 1,200 missionaries working in 28 states, and including Nepal and Bhutan. Here's the verse to consider, Matthew 28:18-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Next slide. So we support our missionaries through sponsorship. This is very similar to other organizations that you may be familiar with. Having a missionary in a village can transform that village. And we also hold regular seminars and conferences on our Nagpur campus. $35 a month takes care of a missionary, although that's really on the low side, typically more towards $60 or $70, especially in the urban areas, the costs are higher. Living costs in India are rising, and for up to $200 a month, you can support a missionary family. Just a little bit about this couple here, Roy and Bincy. They're from a Dalit background, which means the untouchables. You've heard of this, I'm sure. in the caste system, these are the people who are the least desirables, and they were challenged to come to the north. They were just a high school, had just a high school education and 1 year of Bible college. They were sent to Parsioni in 98. There were no Christians there when they arrived, but neighbors threatened them, spelling curses on the family, and they patiently stayed, fasted, and prayed for the villages, and they've now reached 10 villages, trained 4 leaders, together planting 20 house churches. So you can see here what a wonderful story of how God has used just one missionary couple. Next slide. Another verse that's meant much to me is Matthew 6:19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So as I mentioned, I was double-minded in my ways. I was tossed about by circumstance. And I have to be frank, you know, occasionally we get a little nervous. I mean, I'm working a full-time job on a part-time pay, and I have to fundraise just like any missionary would. So for those of you who wish to support us in this, feel free to talk to Michelle. She has some envelopes that she can give you for a support letter. Also, just before I forget, because I'm going to the conference and we're doing fundraising for that, I'll have special response slips that are available for you on the back table as well if you wish to give to the conference. So you can take a newsletter, take a response card, and then I am asking for everyone to take home one of our books. This is the book written by Saji Lukos, and it is free to you guys today. So please take a copy. And please do your best to try to get through it before he comes, because you can ask him questions and he'll be like, wow, you read my book. But no, if you can't get through it, that's fine. So I was double-minded in my ways, tossed about by circumstances. Increasingly, I became more and more disenchanted with what life as a consultant had to offer. I saw a lot of corporate America that was pretty dark. And those of you who are still involved in corporate America, you know that just because it's dressed in a suit and a tie doesn't make it good, right? So I saw some things. My heart was drawn away from that and drawn more towards ministry. I didn't know what was ahead. But I knew God was preparing me somehow, and that was exciting. I did increase my time in the Word and in prayer. And those of you who are going through some difficult times, Thomas family, you are in our prayers. I want you to know that. Right now, you are going through a very dark time, and I know that it's just ups and downs every day. You're spending more time in the Word and in prayer than you probably ever have, is my guess. And it's because the Lord, when He brings us through these dark times, He is drawing Himself. He's drawing us to Himself. So don't waste those moments when you go through those difficulties. Draw closer to Him. Our family has encountered increasing spiritual attack. I'm having almost weekly dreams, very intense spiritual dreams. How many of you have had very, very intense spiritual dreams? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about. You wake up and your breathing is hard, but you know there's something more to it than just what you had the night before for dinner, okay? My heart is now thrilled. Before I go to bed, I said, Lord, give me another dream. I want another one. I want you to tell me what it is I must do. I would never have been asking that question a year or two or three ago, asking for the Lord to give me dreams. That's weird, okay? But He is working in and through us. And our family, and Michelle and Evelyn can attest to it, Evelyn has been having spiritual dreams. It's just remarkable how the Lord is, it's like a switch has been turned on. Johnny, can you relate to a little of this? Yeah? it's amazing. When you enter into the field and you say, Lord, I'm going to go where you want me to go, it's amazing what happens in your spiritual walk. I met Saji through a mutual friend. And this mutual friend is a missionary. And he goes to our church. And he travels throughout the world teaching pastors how to deal with new Muslim converts. Talk about the line of fire. And I'll tell you what, it was really a sense of the Holy Spirit when Dave introduced me to Saji for the first time. Saji's a very likable guy, but it wasn't him that I was attracted to. It was the Holy Spirit saying, you need to focus now. I'm putting you in the right spot. And I was somewhat hesitant at first, but then I resigned myself to the Lord fully, and I said, I will go where you want me to go. Just tell me what you want me to do. And that was an answer to my prayer. Next slide. And I need to be careful of time, so Roger, will you give me a little bit of a... How much time do I have left? Am I up? 5. Am I good for maybe a little extra? A little extra? Okay, I'll try to wrap it up. Leadership development is another thing that we do. We have this deliver, develop, delegate, deploy model. So as our missionaries come in, we make sure that they're well grounded in the faith before we deploy them out to the field. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Next slide. Developing Christ-like leaders is our goal. So currently we graduate about 500 new seminary students. Actually, this is a combination of Bible students and seminary students. And we have one-year diploma, and then we have the MDiv and Master of Theology and others. So very, very cool work. I mean, I'm so excited to go see this and meet these graduates. One of the things I'm learning also about India, it's a very young country. So most, if you look at the demographics in India, most of them are under the age of 25. So when you walk around, you don't see a bunch of old men and women. You see a lot of young people, and that excites me. The Lord may be touching the lives of these young people and a whole life before them to serve Him. Next slide. Bible school and seminary students are also available for sponsorship. If you'd like to do that, $35 a month per Bible school student and about $100 per month per seminary student. And that's primarily because the cost of the seminary buildings and campus there, that's built into the cost of their education. Next slide. If you would like to join me by coming over to India, I would love to have you come with me. That number actually is not 3,500, it's 3,100. So if you are so inclined and you would like to go spend 2 weeks in Nagpur, please talk to me. And my contact information is available on the back table. Next slide. Third verse that has been impactful in my journey is Psalm 37, 4 through 6. Delight yourself. Folks, listen to what I'm saying. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't just begrudgingly do it, but delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. My desire, before I even thought about missions work, was to be successful, to learn and develop as a manager, as a planner, as a leader. And He gave me the desires of my heart. And now I'm using it in His kingdom work. And it's exciting. I would have never thought that He would have done it this way. But He did. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And I have to apologize. Marsha, I haven't been reading those questions, but I'm going to read this set of questions. How's that? All right. Do you really believe that He will give you the desires of your heart? I want you to really honestly answer that question. Do you really believe that He will give you desires of the heart of your heart? Do you really believe that if you commit your life to Him, He will do what's your greatest desire? If you do, commit your ways to Him and trust in Him. See, this verse connects two things. It connects committing your ways, trusting in Him, to the very desire of your heart. So if you want whatever it is, commit yourself to Him. If you're struggling in doing the right thing or making wise decisions, commit your way to Him and trust Him. Next slide. Another aspect of RIMI is compassion services, and these take various aspects. One is medical clinics, hospital and nursing school. We just built a 100-bed hospital, and we're now in the process of equipping that and getting staffed up for that. Also education funding and then support of children. So we have 19 mercy homes, and I'm really excited about seeing these mercy homes. These are kind of like orphanages. They're a little bit different in that in India, it's often the case where the mother or the father can't provide for the child. So they're not abandoning the child. They're just giving their child over to the mercy home so that they can provide for them. So they're still in the community, still attached in some fashion, but the mercy home is supporting that child. And that's something I'm pretty excited about seeing. And then microfinance, so that we can teach people to become self-sufficient financially. Next slide. As I mentioned, we do have this 100-bed hospital and health awareness seminars, nurse training, and we do have financial needs on that front, and you could see those up there, $100,000 for medical equipment and furnishing and $50,000 for annual operations. Next slide. The mercy homes are a very important part of what we do, and many of our supporters are sponsoring children, $35 a month to take care of a child, or $2,000 per month for an orphanage or a mercy home. And that typically would support about 25 children. Next slide. So one of the things I like to do, I actually like doing this, isn't that weird? I like to encourage you to become a partner. I'm not here to do classic fundraising where I'm making some sort of appeal so that you can empty your wallets. What I am doing is asking if the Lord is stirring your heart to support the children, the missionaries, the mission of RIMI, then partner with us. If you're not able to do it, I understand. Pray for us. Pray for these Christians that are being persecuted. Pray for me, Michelle, Evelyn. We have some very challenging days ahead, I'm sure. I am so comforted by the Holy Spirit in knowing that He's called us to this work. He will complete it. And He will fulfill the desires of our heart. So with that, I'd like to share this final verse, which has become very special to me. Psalm 41 and 2. And He heard my cry. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. Hallelujah. He is good. All the time. God is good. I'd like to share a video with you. This is for our 2014 annual leadership conference, and then we'll pray. Thank you.